Nice. So we always love to ask a question about what your most embarrassing moment is. So do you have one or many?
Okay, so I was 14 and I just started, you know when you just like ask someone out or you're just starting to like really connect with someone and there's like the bit when you don't know whether you're like official or not. And me and this girl, Georgie, she was so fit, it was unbelievable. She was way out of my league. Like, I'm not being funny, she was just way out of my league. And so I was like, I didn't know whether we were a thing or not, but like, certainly I was like, so I just spent so long doing my hair. Obviously, at that point, I had a lot more like hair to do. But it was like fireworks night, and I just wore, yeah, like best outfit, best hair, best face, best everything. And then after fireworks, like, it was kind of romantic, and like I kind of like put my arm around her a bit during the fireworks. Ooh. And so on. It's like I was just like making my moves slowly, subtly. And then we went down to the chip shop to get some fish and chips because I thought it'd be quite romantic to sit in the park and have some chips. But the problem is I had like a bit of a cold developing. And have you ever had this? I don't know whether this is a lad thing or just a human thing. Girls, you can tell me in a minute. But like, you know, like when you got like phlegmy, mucousy, like greeny stuff like in the back of your throat and it gets stuck and you don't know what to do. So I could feel this thing like coming for ages in the back of my throat thinking, oh, this is like not good. I didn't know what to do because clearly I couldn't just like hack it up in front of her. I didn't really want to like use, like, I had like an old hanky in my pocket. I thought, okay, that's not cool either. So what do you do? Like, I can't spend like the next 2 or 3 hours with this like greenie at the back of my throat. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to go outside and speak to one of my mates and stuff. If you're okay, just stay in the fish and chip shop queue for a second. So she stayed there and I like kind of went outside and pretended to talk to my mates, went around the back of the chippy, and then so I just like hacked this thing up. It was like, it took me a little while. I was like, and then this massive greenie like flew out and brilliant, done, right. Back in the fish and chip shop and just like, hi Georgie, like acting all cool again. And she was like really super awkward, which is weird because she'd not been awkward the whole night. And then she said, Chad, I looked down and on my scarf was the massive greenie. It was awful. It was just sitting there right on top of my scarf. And it'd been there for ages since we've been talking. I was mortified. So we went out for 2 years though. That's not bad, is it? Oh. She obviously likes that kind of guy that...
Nice. That's cool. So, what are you talking to? It's a brand new series. What are you sharing with us tonight? Sum it up in a couple of sentences.
Okay. Have you guys ever tried to change in some way? Something about yourself? Something about your habits? Something about who you are? Something about the way you look? And then struggled and found it's actually quite hard to change. It's like, have you ever failed really badly? Like, had best intentions, thought, I'm going to do it this time. This is the time I'm going to nail it. This is the time, all my determination. This is the time where I'm not going to fail. And then like 2 days later, you've failed. And you're like, how did I do that again? So hard to change. So we're going to talk about how to change, how to take off an old self and put on a new self in reality. And it actually starts to work. We're going to talk about that in a bit.
Cool. Thank you for that. I'm excited for that. It's going to be good. Worship. So,
thank you. You can stretch one or two hands. Let's pray. And thank you for Chad, and thank you for all that you have put in his heart tonight. I pray that God, you will pour out your spirit upon him, Lord. Make him your mouthpiece, so that all that he shares with us tonight will be life-transforming and to cause us to be renewed by you through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for ourselves too, Lord, as we listen. Help us to be teachable in our spirit so that we can hear and be willing to follow what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, so... first thing we need to do, Matt, Simon and Sam, do you mind giving me a hand? Is that okay? There's a bowl of little old stones, like dirty gravel from the car park. Do you mind just grabbing a handful of that? That'd be great. We'll need that in a second. Probably need Chris. Do you mind giving his hand as well? Nathaniel, I know you love dirty gravel. Do you want to just come and grab some? Great. Okay, grab a handful. I haven't had time to clean it. We're going to need this right at the start. So what I want you to do is Sam, if you could just walk around. Now, you're going to need a little bit more than that. And ideally, some of the smaller stuff. So as they come around, by the way, I'm normal. I'm not too weird. It is a weird start. Let's acknowledge this moment. This is a very weird start, but I am fairly normal. You'll see that in a moment, I hope. So, Newton, come on. Show me your gravel, man. Perfect. Looking good. Do you mind just wandering round? And as Newton comes round, as the others come round, take a tiny bit of gravel, like the smallest bit that you can find in his hand. Leave the bigger stuff in his hand and grab a small bit. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Chris, Matt, Nathaniel. Go around, you go. Grab a little tiny bit of gravel, and then just hold it in your hand. Okay. Great. Yeah, the smallest bit you can. Okay. Everyone got one? Nearly. Okay. That might be too big. Yeah, okay. The smaller the better. Okay. Great. Most people have got one. Last few people at the back. Okay, now, for those of you that have got one, and you'll get one in a minute if you haven't got one already, what I want you to do, I'm seeing that most people have boots or shoes or trainers or pumps or something on. I would love you to just stick that little tiny bit of stone in your shoe, between your sock and your shoe. So on the outside of your sock. If you're barefoot, that's fine. That's fine. Just stick the stone in your shoe. Trust me, you're going to need it. Okay, it's going to be uncomfortable. Let's face it, it's going to be uncomfortable. Okay, stick the stones in your shoe. Great, amazing. That's fine. I don't mind how much they cost. Just it doesn't have to be right underneath. It could just be tucked down the side. You might want to go all out and put it between your toes. It's totally up to you. Okay, now, how's that feeling? Is that feeling nice? It's just annoying, isn't it? It's really annoying. It's really uncomfortable. Newton, how's yours feeling? Okay? Great. Brilliant. Okay. Done? Stone's back in the bowl. Okay. Right. So you guys, I want you to just keep that stone in your shoe. Just keep it in there. I know it's annoying. You know when you're walking along, especially in the summer on the beach, and you might get like a little bit of stone under your flip-flop or in your shoe, or especially if you've done your walking boots up and you're on a hike and then you get a stone, it's really annoying because you have to undo your laces and so on. It's so annoying when we get a stone in our shoe. It just feels uncomfortable. Now, these bits you've got in your shoe are actually quite big bits of gravel. Actually, even if it's the most tiny bit, you feel it, don't you? The tiniest bits, even those bits. And sometimes you have to like bang your shoe on the floor to try and get it out. Those tiny bits are annoying. Now, ignore the fact you've got a stone in your shoe. Just leave it there. We'll come back to the stone in your shoe in a little while. So, making the switch, that's what Matt said earlier, making the switch from an old life to a new life. What does that look like, to make the switch from an old life to a new life? Well, actually, there's a girl I know who's 14, and she'd been keeping Snapchat streaks going on her phone for so long. Like, I don't know, some of you are on Snapchat, some of you aren't, some of you will know what streaks are, some of you won't, it doesn't really matter. Basically, she'd been keeping this like kind of streak going with some of her friends. Well, actually 34 streaks she had going, which for some of you that'd be a lot, for some of you thinking actually that's not that many, and some of those streaks she'd kept going for well over a year. That's not bad, is it? By the way, just for those of you that don't know what a streak is, it's like when you send a photo to each other every day and it keeps going, you don't want to let your friends down by being the person that doesn't snap that day and break the streak and so on. So basically, had kept these Snapchat streaks going for over a year, 34 of them. Now, that was starting to actually start to affect her mental and emotional health, because she's got some exams coming up there. She's in year 10. And so not GCSEs, but she had a load of tests coming up. And she was really struggling to keep this going. And when she went on holiday and actually didn't have like Wi-Fi all the time, she was super stressed because she didn't want to break the streaks. And she was really struggling because she didn't want to let her friends down. And she thought her friends might not like her if she was the one that let them down. And to keep 34 going was stressful. Horrible. And then, like, after drawing close to God, it started to really transform her. She started to make a bit of a switch, and just recently she decided to cut 32 of them and just keep two going with her best mates. And when she cut the 32, she decided to pray for those 32 people instead, which is remarkable. And she felt so much lighter having cut some of that. and she had so much more time on her hands, so much less stress, her emotional, her mental health was much better. And actually one of her friends, who's 16, really nice lad, he was watching YouTube videos till really late every single night. And he would try and set himself a bit of a limit, but he'd get towards 10 o'clock and he'd be in the middle of something, sometimes appropriate, sometimes not appropriate stuff. And it would go past 10 and getting later and later. And because he's 16, he's got his first GCSE tomorrow, I think. Some of you will be starting GCSEs tomorrow. But the problem is, for months and months when he should have been revising, he was struggling because he was getting later and later, almost addicted to YouTube. And so he started to cut down his YouTube usage right down, to its sensible level, and trying really hard to watch more appropriate stuff, particularly before he went to bed, so that his mind was clear and the last thing in front of his eyes wasn't a screen. It was like he was trying to read books and just have some peace and some quiet and some silence and some darkness and just kind of settle himself and get a decent night's sleep. He's starting to sleep better and he kept on praying, God, please help me to sleep. And he's just about now got himself sorted in time for his GCSEs tomorrow. It's amazing. It's really good. Now, we're talking the most little tiny changes here. Little tiny changes. But also some big changes. One of the guys in my church, a homeless guy that had been in prison several times, really, really struggling, has now it's been amazing. He's become a Christian. He's stopped offending. He's now found himself a first flat to live in, so he's not homeless. The church have given him all the furniture and supported him. And it is totally transformed. New life, new flat. He's just about to get himself a first job on the back of a little college course he's done. Total transformation. So we're talking minor transformations, cutting some Snapchat streaks, to major transformations where someone that was in prison over and over again couldn't get out the habit. Totally transformed by Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Like tiny changes and big changes. But how do we make that switch? My little boy, Jack, came up to me the other day and he loves fist bumping. Just fist bumping the person next to you, by the way, just for a second. Little tiny, okay, just so nice, isn't it? Just a little kind of moment you have as mates. And we have that moment, me and my son, as we fist bump. But he's only 4 years old, so quite often he kind of thinks I'm saying fish pump, but that's okay. So let's just call it fish pump for now. So he came across the room, this is a few weeks ago, and said, Daddy, Daddy, fish pump. And he was walking across the room with his hands, and I had my little hand like this, all ready to fist bump him or fish pump him. And so he came right across to me and came really close. Sorry, Anna, do you mind? And he just punched me in the face like that. And I was like, Jack, that's not a fish pump. I mean, a fist bump. You just punched me. That's not how we do it. There was a gap between what he said he was going to do and what he did in practice. There's a gap between what he said he was going to do and what he did in practice. There's a gap between what we say we're going to do and what we do in practice. There's a gap between our social media profile and who we really are. There's a gap between who we are right now and who we're being called to be. There's a gap between our faith and the faith that Jesus is calling us to have, and so on and so on. In fact, I was with a little lad the other day, a little while ago, and he was 8 years old, and we were doing an anti-bullying assembly. And I'd said to the teachers, look, if I tell all these eight-year-olds about anti-bullying, they'll kind of half listen. But if we can find the leaders in their year group, the ones that they're going to respect, and get them to do the anti-bullying assembly, it'll have much more impact. That's often the way it works. So we gathered together 5 eight-year-olds that were like real leaders in their school, like really respected by their peers. And we got them together, got this amazing assembly going. We were waiting in the kitchen area ready to go on stage because it's a big school, and all of these classes were filing in one after another, and there's a few minutes where we were just kind of waiting off stage. And then this little boy started crying, not like fully crying, just welling up just a little bit. And I said, look, are you okay? And he said, look, if I'm honest, I'm a bit embarrassed. And I thought what he meant was, I'm embarrassed to go on stage, like a bit of stage fright. But he said, no, that's not what it is. I'm embarrassed. I can't do this. I can't tell my friends about anti-bullying stuff. I said, well, why not? Like, the teachers have identified you as an amazing role model in your year group. That's a real compliment, surely. And he said, they don't know. The teachers don't know what I'm really like. I bully people. And there's a big gap between actually who he really was and who the teachers thought he was. There's a gap, isn't there, between who you actually are and who your parents think you are. And for instance, it's really difficult, isn't it? So I said to him, look, I so highly value your honesty. And that's where this stuff starts, with some reality, some honesty. And actually that became, in some ways, like the qualification for him to stand on stage. Because we had a quick chat and I said, look, you're not perfect, but you are starting to change. And so how about we do this with a bit of humility? And so the way he presented was beautiful. He's a really cool lad. And he started to present in a really humble way to his friends about the fact that actually he wasn't perfect, but he was trying. And that honesty was vital. And we're going to need a little bit of honesty tonight. If we're going to start to make the switch and close that gap between who we say we are and who we really are, who we are right now and who we're being called to be. So, leave the stones where they are. By the way, did anyone start to forget the stone was there? It's interesting, isn't it? Like, okay, just leave it there for a little while. After a while, it just becomes a part of us. Like, you'll be aware of it being a bit uncomfortable, but only when I said, are you aware of it now? Like, it kind of brought it back to your mind that actually I've got a stone in my shoe. Some of you had already started to forget that you got a stone in your shoe. The thing is, with the things we do wrong, things we struggle with, some of our addictions and habits and so on, actually they become so much a part of us, sometimes we just forget they're there, or just kind of become so much a part of us, we can even become comfortable with something that's very uncomfortable, and it's really hard to change. So in a moment, I'll stop talking, I'm going to get you guys talking, but we're going to start to think about how to change. How does it really happen? How do you make that switch? Now, if you've ever tried to maybe stop biting your nails. Struggled? Okay, it's really hard. If you're constantly biting your nails and then try to stop, it's really difficult. Sometimes you catch yourself biting your nails when you promised yourself you wouldn't. Or maybe you promised yourself you're going to start eating really healthily. Keep it up for a couple of days, maybe a week or two. It's really hard to eat healthily long term. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe it's swearing. Maybe you've been swearing under your breath or with a different group of friends at school. Your language changes when you're with them. And you're like, okay, I'm going to stop swearing now. And then actually, those words just spill out your mouth and you don't even realize. You can slip back into bad habits. Or maybe it's something a bit more dark, actually. Some of you maybe have struggled with pornography, for instance. And you've been looking at porn for so long that you're thinking, okay, and that was the last time. I never will again. And then you catch yourself a few days later, a few weeks later, looking again. And so on and so on. I think it's really good to start to be honest and frank about this stuff. There's stuff that you think, I wish I could change, and this time I will. And then when you let yourself down, it becomes harder next time. So to change, to switch, is difficult. Now, here's the thing I want you to do to kind of get into this theme. If you were going to learn an instrument, like really, really learn instruments. Some of you will play instruments to quite a high standard. Like for instance, my brother is a violinist in the Royal Opera House. It's like one of the most prestigious places in the world. He's one of the best in the country. And I think one day he'll be one of the best in the world. And the other day he gave me a backstage tour of the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden. I stood in the pit where the conductor stands in front of thousands and thousands of people. And these are the top musicians in the whole world. He's an incredible guy. But he committed his life to learning that instrument. Now, some of you play sport. And you know what it's like if you pick up a sport and train hard. It's incredibly difficult. But you have to persevere and so on. Now, whether it's instrument or sport, what kind of stuff do you need to have in place to make that training possible? So just hold that thought. I'm going to get you to talk in pairs in a second. So it can't just be a case of trying harder to play the violin, or just be a case of kicking a football over and over again in terms of practicing your free kicks over and over again. It's not just that. Actually, there's loads more stuff. Loads more stuff that helps you to train, whether it's sport or music. So in your pairs, with the person sitting next to you, whether you choose sport or music or both, what are all the things you need to bear in mind if you're going to be like an expert, a specialist, get better and better in training? Do you want to chat to the person next to you? Come up with as many different things as you can. Go for it, go for it, go for it. Basically, if you repeat something over and over and over and over again, it's like you're rewiring your brain. So, that works with good habits and bad habits. So if you keep the bad habit going over and over again, it becomes part of you. By the way, who forgot the stone was there? Okay, all right, okay, so it becomes part of you. Now, with good habits, when you replace a bad habit with a good habit, and you do it over and over and over again, it creates, you like rewire your brain, it creates a new neural pathway, and basically becomes a new habit, and it becomes part of you, and becomes quite natural. So practice and training are vital. Okay, let's keep going. Anything else for sport or music? So commit and have loads of variety. Okay, and also, did anyone mention the idea of being in a team? Anyone need, like, that sense of just needing one another in a team. You can't do this on your own. So you guys, as Christians, need this to be a team effort. Okay, now, here's what I'd like to do next. Then, actually, I think I'm only going to speak for a few more minutes. Because I'd like to hand over to you guys to kind of work this stuff out for yourselves, actually. If I'm really honest with you, there was a gap between who I said I was and who I really was. And even though I was a Christian, I hadn't fully made the switch. And I'm still making the switch now. It's like I was still wearing some of the old clothes from my old self. I hadn't fully put on the new clothes that Jesus had given me. I hadn't fully made the switch. And so, for instance, I had a huge problem with anger. Like, really serious problem with anger. There was just so many times I'd punched walls and punched doors when I was 14, 15. When I was 24, 25, when I was 34, 35, I'm now 39. So what I'm saying is I never quite made that switch. The stuff I struggled with when I was a teenager, 20 years later, I was still really struggling with. I had smashed so many mirrors and windows and so on. And if you look really closely on my knuckles, you'll see little tiny scars from times I've been in hospital and had my knuckles patched up from blood everywhere when I smashed a mirror. I was really angry. Angry about loads of stuff. It's like I'd carried some old clothes and I never ever wanted to take them off or never knew how to take them off. And Jesus had offered me over and over again the time, chance to transform. And I'd never really taken him up on it. I didn't know quite how. And then just recently, the last couple of years, it's like I'm a new person. Amazing. I love it. Jesus is transforming me. He started to transform me when I was 14. He carried on in my 20s and now into my 30s. So I wonder in what way Jesus is transforming you. But see, the thing is, when we talked about sport and music, most of that stuff was pretty reliant on us. So training and doing new things, having the right equipment and so on. Actually, that takes you to a certain point. But the bit we can't do is the bit that only God can do in us, that he transforms us from the inside out. His Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. So it's like we create the conditions in our lives for the Holy Spirit to transform us. So all those little bits and pieces that you do to try, so reading the Bible and praying, that's creating the conditions. But it's the Holy Spirit that does the transformation in us. Actually, do you mind if I do one more thing? Is that okay? This is my fault, because I said, like, come and play the guitar towards the end, because it's really helpful for the atmosphere. Now I'm just changing the plan really quickly. Is that okay? You okay just to stand there? Sure. Thanks. Bless you. I read recently that the British Olympic cycling team, when they wanted to win a load of gold medals in 2012, they decided we can't just simply try harder, because like all the countries are just trying harder. We need something much deeper to happen. And so they looked for cultural change in their cycling team. Stick with this. So what they did was started to make tiny changes. And they said to the Royal Ballet, okay, give us your top tip. And they said, when you go to a hotel the night before your big Olympic race, take your own pillow from home to the hotel. Tiny, tiny little change, and you'll sleep much better, because we all sleep better on our own pillow than a hotel pillow. And then they said to the top surgeons around the country, do you know what? Like, what would you say to us? They said, look, we'll teach you how to wash your hands properly, like really thoroughly, so it lessens the chance of infection and lessens the chance of you being ill on the big day of the race. We're talking simple, silly little things. Because washing your hands or changing your pillow don't win you a gold medal at the Olympics. But there's loads of them, dozens of tiny little changes, incremental changes, marginal gains they called them, little simple things that eventually led to cultural change in British cycling and then huge numbers of gold medals. So I wonder for you, what tiny changes could you make that create the conditions for the Holy Spirit to transform you? So think about your life, things you're struggling with, little bits and pieces. Now break it right down into the most tiny little things. Like, you know, I said that 16-year-old lad, he just started to cut just 10 minutes off his YouTube time at a time and ask the Holy Spirit to help him. So it's both. We create the conditions. We can do little bits and pieces. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. So, can you just chat to the person next to you? Start to think about those areas of your life where you just know you're not quite right. It's like there's the gap between who you say you are and who you really are. If you're really honest with the person next to you, just start to identify one tiny little thing that you'd like to change. Okay, be really honest. Go for it. Chat to the people around you. Go for it. Self off and put the new self on. Amazing. Amazing. So in a moment, what I'd like to encourage you to do is to take that stone out of your shoe. In fact, you might want to just do that just now. Especially if you forgot it was there. Starting to live with the discomfort, it became quite comfortable. Hold it in your hand, between your fingers. Maybe for you, that little tiny bit of grit, that stone, that bit of gravel, represents something. Something of that gap between who you are and who you want to be. Something about that gap of who you say you are and who you really are. Some of your old self, your false self, the old clothes, that this represents the moment where you say, no, this is not who I am. This is not comfortable. This is not right. This is not who Jesus is calling me to be. And I wonder whether, just as the worship starts up and the band start to gather, if you're willing, like, to come forward and just put it in the bowl and maybe just get rid of that little tiny thing. Because here's the last thing I want to share. In that moment where Jesus was in the tomb, his body was lifeless, grey. You know, sometimes we don't think of that, but his body was lifeless and grey. There's nothing. His lungs had stopped, just still. His heart had stopped pumping. And then there was a moment in history where the whole of history balanced, where all of a sudden his heart went boom and started beating again. And breath re-entered his nostrils and inflated his lungs and he started to breathe again. And then there was a moment where the stone was rolled away and he stepped out of the darkness into glorious light. Old left behind, new rising into glory. And in that moment, it's like you leave the old stuff in the grave. You leave it with Jesus. And when you drop this stone into the bowl in a moment, it's like you're saying, that stuff stays in the grave. And I rise with him. And God says to so many of you in tiny ways and in big ways tonight, rise up. In the tiny little habits and in the big life-changing switches, rise up. He says to each of you, son, rise up. Daughter, rise up. You are called for more than this. You are my precious son, my precious daughter. Rise up. Rise above it. Rise with me. As I burst out of the tomb into glorious life, so you burst to new life with me. And then we start to train with him. So I'd encourage you, that when you're ready, to come forward and just to drop the stone back in the bowl that represents all of that old life. You start in a small way this evening to make that switch. Go for it. Do you want to just come forward one by one? Who's feeling brave? Start it off. Bless you. Just drop them in the bowl. Just say, Lord, I just so need to be true to myself and honest. I've been faking it for so long. I've been lying to myself. I've been lying to my friends. I've been lying to my family, my teachers. I've been lying to everyone, but I know I can't lie to you. And so in this moment, I choose not to lie, but to be honest. Start to take off some of my old self. And put on my new self in Christ. To leave it in the grave, in the darkness, gone forever, as I become a new creation, a new person, born again. Even if you've become a Christian several times before, do you know what I mean? Like you've put your hand up on a whole load of occasions. This is another moment where you say, yes, this time again, of course, Lord, of course. Of course I want to respond to you. Now, some of these might be the first time in a long time or the first time ever you've been really, really honest about actually who you really are, especially if you've been lying to yourself and lying to others for a while and starting to maybe imagine what it's like to really be you, the person that God made, to really be yourself just as God made you. That person is so beautiful. God's calling you out of the false into the truth. Just as we sit for a moment, do you just know Jesus is really close to you? And know his presence is all around you. He's to your left and your right. He's behind you, in front of you, beneath you, above you, inside you. Changing you from the inside out. Changing you from the inside out. He's so close to you. Earlier when I was praying for you guys, I got a sense of a couple of people that I thought were struggling. One was, I think I can't work out whether you've heard something you wish you hadn't, or seen something you wish you hadn't. Maybe I think someone might have heard something from their parents, or something they've been aware of that they just wish they hadn't heard it. And it might be a different person actually that has seen something they just wish they'd not seen it. I'd love to pray for you tonight if that's you. And the other person specifically was someone that was really, really worried about their parents. I don't know what that is. It might be just one parent. Someone that's just so worried about their parents at the moment. We'd love to pray for you as well. And so I wonder whether what we do is, like, you guys, I get the impression you're a bit like a family. So in a moment, as the band come forward to worship and start singing, if you'd like prayer, I wonder whether, like, for instance, Nathaniel and Newton and Sam and Chris and others start to gather around the sides and worship in amongst, and just grab one of those guys. You know the crops team well. Just grab them and ask them to pray for you, particularly if something I've said spoke to you. And Murray's here right in the middle, just wherever you are. Do you know what I mean? Honor's around somewhere. Where's on? Hi. Just grab these guys and ask them to pray for you. Or maybe you've got a best friend sitting next to you. Just ask them to pray. And during the worship, as well as singing, just be praying for one another. Maybe just a hand on the shoulder is enough. Okay, should we stand together? Stand together as our new selves in Jesus. And let's worship with all of our hearts. And if you want any prayer, go and find someone or just put your hand up. Let's worship and pray together.